Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and yes, the Prashanti calendar, especially this year, the year of his 90th birthday, is really overflowing. The last 2 days, you had beautiful programs by devotees from the northeast Indian state of Assam, and now in a couple of days there's going to be a program by the Balvika's children of Punjab, followed by children from Maharashtra, and then comes the Guru Purnima celebrations. Before that, the students of Prashantinilam College are going to stage a presentation on Ramzan this Saturday, July 18, 2015. So Prashanti is really brimming with the love of the devotees for the Lord, expressing in so many beautiful ways. And even as this is happening in Prashantinilam, the way hundreds of devotees of Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, especially Sevadal brothers and sisters, have decided to express their love to Swami during this time is by offering selfless service at the Godavari Mahapushkaram that started 2 days ago on July 14th, 2015. It is indeed a mammoth occasion wherein people in lakhs and millions are thronging to River Godavari to have a sacred dip, to not miss this rare opportunity that comes, as the belief goes, once in 144 years. Now, what is this occasion and why is it so sacred? Why are so many people gathering at the ghats of River Godavari? What is it they're going to get out of this? What is propelling them to make this journey and to undergo all the inconveniences? And what are our Sai brothers and sisters doing there? So we will dwell on all this in the first half of Outside Inside, Deep Inside today, which will also include a live conversation with someone who was there in Rajahmundry to participate in the Pushkaram. And then we'll move on to the discussion we had with Mr. Rajan Sood last week, ruminating on Bhagwan as the Sadguru. So that's what is in store tonight in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, in this last segment of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:46, and just as we discuss, we are going to dwell on the glory of Godavari Pushkaram. Well, in Indian culture, nature is just a reflection of God. Nature is God manifest in color and vibrancy, in sound and beauty. And Godavari Pushkaram, to put it simply, is a festival of worshipping this sacred river and the river's creator, the Almighty One. If you go to the origin of River Godavari, like the origin of River Ganga, it too has a very sacred legend. According to Shiva Purana, it was sage Gautama who did great penance, great tapas, and requested Varuna Deva, the god of rain, to pour heavily on the Brahmagiri mountain, because there was in that area a 100-year drought. But Lord Varuna, the god of rain, apparently did not accede to this request. And then, as an alternate option, sage Gautama requested Lord Varuna to provide an everlasting solution to the Brahmagiri mountain areas, to bestow on that region an everlasting source of water. And it is then that Lord Varuna asks sage Gautama to dig a ditch, and then Varuna fills it with divine water and says, "O great sage, let there be a perennial supply of water in this trench that has become sacred. This will become famous on the earth by your name. Charitable gifts made here, rites performed here, penance pursued here, the sacrifices done here for the gods, and the Shraddha offered here to ancestors, everything will become imperishable. So that was the boon granted by Lord Varuna to sage Gautama. In fact, Godavari is also called as Gautami, just like Ganga is called Bhagirathi, to honor sage Bhagiratha, who was responsible for bringing her down to earth. So later in the Shiva Purana, the story goes how sage Gautama asks Lord Shiva for Mother Ganga to be brought here into Godavari so that everyone can be washed of their sins by the purity of river Ganga. And so Lord Shiva requests Mother Ganga to flow into river Godavari. But Mother Ganga says that she will not do that unless Lord Shiva also accompanies her. And Lord Shiva agrees to her prayer, and that is how we have the shrine of Trayambakeshwar at Trayambak in the Nasik district of Andhra Pradesh, which is the source of river Godavari. So the same Lord Shiva and the same Mother Ganga now sanctify the waters as Trayambakeshwar and river Godavari. No wonder river Godavari is often hailed as Dakshina Ganga, the Ganga of the south. And look at the prayer of Mother Ganga. It's so symbolic, isn't it? Where there is nature, there is God. Baba says, nature is in fact God's vesture. If we are truly spiritual, we will see God shining in a flower, still in a stone, and ruffling in the wind. And that is why nature in Indian tradition is revered like a mother and worshipped like a goddess. We worship the fire, we worship the earth, we worship the sun, we worship the trees, the lakes. In fact, in Vedic texts, water is referred to as apaha. It is considered as sacred and treated as a purifier. The waters are considered to be purifying in a spiritual context. The Rig Veda says, "Hail to you, O the all-purifying waters, the divine, the unfathomable one." The Rig Veda identifies the waters as the first ayana or the residence of Nara. And that is how we understand the name Narayana, given to Lord Vishnu. One of the scriptures, Satapati Brahmana, says, "Water may pour from the heaven or run along the channels dug out by men, or flow clear and pure, having the ocean as their goal. In the midst of the waters is moving the Lord, surveying men's truth and men's lies. How sweet are the waters, crystal clear and cleansing, from whom all the deities drink exhilarating strength, and into whom the universal Lord has entered." So go on. So that is how goes on this story and the glory of water. The Vedic philosophy attributed sacredness to water and also identified water as a medium to attain spiritual enlightenment. In fact, the Atharvana Veda declared water as the first door to attain the divine order. And that is why the use of water in daily life as well as in ritualistic ceremony was referred to as a spiritual sacrifice, as a process of attaining eternity. The Rig Veda emphasizes the importance of water and says, "The waters which are from the firmament and which flow after being dug, and even those that spring by themselves, or the bright pure waters which lead to the sea, whatever water it might be, may those divine waters protect me here." So water is hailed as power, as a force that protects, that energizes. In fact, I am reminded of a book in the recent times, The Hidden Messages in Water, by Professor Masaru Emoto of Japan, who has studied and photographed water molecules and their responses to emotions. In the book, he has published pictures of how water molecules glow like a well-formed golden star when you approach it with love, and how it is grotesquely distorted when you demonstrate anger or hatred to water. You can see how when you say a prayer, the water molecules shine and they have such beautiful shapes, symmetric shapes. But the same water, place it near a jarring music, the molecules get distorted. In fact, this book was a revelation from me. From childhood, I used to always question the concept of Teertham, this consecrated water that is generally given in temples, and I used to always think maybe it is infected, you know, why are we taking all this water? But actually this book opened my eyes. And consecrated water, sanctified water is there in every form, in every religion. This book quelled all the doubts of my rational mind, because it showed how water molecules actually change shape and character when exposed to sacred vibrations. And that is why in Indian culture, it is advised to chant Gayatri Mantra while having a shower. The act of bathing is in fact considered intensely spiritual. And in ancient times, it was believed that physical acts of imperfection were removed and spiritual oneness with the eternal self was attained during the process of having a bath in water. According to the Vedas, it was not the act of taking a bath itself, but the coming into contact with the sacredness of water and the attainment of such knowledge and proximity that made one sinless and guided the individual to the eternal self. Water was always considered sacred, but it was clarified that, you know, you do not pray to water, not to that physical entity that is water, but to the source of life and spirituality, the God or the Goddess, the life-giving principle that is inherent in every molecule of water. So that is why taking a dip in the spiritually charged waters is considered so meritorious, absolving us of our sins. Now coming to the special dip in Godavari, which is called Godavari Pushkara. Pushkara is a Sanskrit word derived from the word push. The word pushti also comes from the root word push, which means nourishment. And kara means one who does it. So pushkara literally refers to the energy that nourishes. And with reference to the sacred rivers, pushkara means the one who energizes the rivers and provides spiritual purification. Pushkara also refers to a lotus. In Vishnu Sahasranama Stotram, the thousand names of Lord Vishnu, we find a reference to the word Pushkara, where Lord Shri Mahavishnu is referred to as Pushkaraksha, meaning the one who has lotus eyes, the one who provides nourishment to the entire universe, and the one who is always present in sacred teerthams, in sacred water bodies. In Tirupati, in Tirumala Kshetra, the water tank near Sri Varaha Swami temple is known as Swami Pushkarini. So Godavari Pushkara is a festival of river Godavari, wherein we worship the one who energizes the waters and purifies us. But why is it celebrated now? Why is this specific time period so important? Well, they say every sacred river in India is associated with a zodiac sign. For example, River Ganga is connected with Aries, River Narmada with Taurus, River Kaveri with Libra, and so on. And for River Godavari, it is Leo. And planet Jupiter, also known as Brihaspati in Indian culture, is considered as the guru of the gods. Astrologically, it is the most benevolent planet, symbolizing wealth, fortune, learning, knowledge, divinity, charity, peace, morality, meditation, devotion, auspiciousness, even responsible for curing ailments affecting the stomach. So planet Jupiter is also known as Guru, is one of the most benevolent planets, most boon bestowing planets. And whenever planet Jupiter enters the zodiac sign related to the river, that period is considered highly sacred for that river. It is believed that a dip at this time in that particular river diminishes our sins and confers merits and leads us on to the Godward path. And as Jupiter travels from one zodiac sign to another, the Pushkaram festival arrives once in 12 years for each of the 12 important rivers of India. So this Pushkaram festival lasts as long as Jupiter remains in that particular zodiac sign, and now it is Leo, so it is Godavari Pushkaram. The first 12 days of Godavari Pushkaram is called Adi Pushkaram, and the last 12 days are called Antya Pushkaram. And these 24 days starting from July 14, 2015 are considered sacred because you have the blessings of the Guru. However, this year it is Godavari Mahapushkaram because it is the 12th recurrence of the 12-year Godavari Pushkaram cycle, and this is considered highly auspicious and an event which will repeat again after 144 years. So the next Mahapushkaram will be in 2159. So given the rarity and exclusivity and of course the sacredness of the event, we find millions assembling on the banks of River Chitravati, River Godavari. Yes, Chitravati is no less than Godavari, to touch her waters and become sanctified. While lakhs of pilgrims are doing this, what the Sai devotees in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana are busy with is making the journey and the experience of all these pilgrims easy and trouble-free to the extent they can. So there are nearly 7,000 sevadals doing various duties like cleanliness services, medical services, food and hot milk distribution centers, disaster management and cultural activities, all these during this 12 days of Pushkaram at the 6 ghats. And all the sevadals are busy doing crowd control, sanitary and cleaning services, cloak rooms, drinking water points, food distribution for 30,000 pilgrims every day, water supply at 30 locations, water and milk supply by sevadals using mobile cans, there are mobile medical vans. There is also the Premajyoti exhibition on Bhagwan's life and mission at the Tyagaraja Kalakshetram in Rajahmundry. There are cultural programs, speeches at Satya Sai Gurukulam, which is Bhagwan's school in Rajahmundry. So there's tremendous work going on by Sai brothers and sisters who are so committed to express their love for Bhagwan by offering their time, energy and resources serving the devotees of the Lord, serving the pilgrims who have come from far and near seeking merits, seeking to absolve their sins, seeking to take one step onto the Godward path. We are going to bring you these stories, these heartwarming stories of the seva that is being done by sevadals. You will very soon also see on the website a photo gallery of all these splendid work that is going on. But today what I am going to do is share with you what it is to be there at the Godavari Pushkaram. And we are going to now listen live to someone who has just returned from the Godavari Pushkaram and is fresh with the experience of being there and having experienced the grand event, Mrs. Lalita Shekhar from Bangalore, a Radio Sai volunteer who was there, this time not as a Radio Sai volunteer but as a pilgrim with her husband. And for those of us who have not had the chance to be at the Pushkaram, let's listen to what she has to say. Let's listen to how it is for people being there at Rajahmundry and all the other sacred places along the banks of River Godavari. So welcome, Mrs. Lalita Shekhar, to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside.
Sairam Vishu. Sairam to all our listeners.
So tell us, how was your experience of being there at the Godavari Pushkaram. I know this is, for many it is a lifetime experience, for many it is an opportunity they do not want to miss, and I guess it was something like that for you too.
Yes, definitely. Frankly speaking, it is inexplicable, but I will try to put it into words. And as you rightly mentioned, this is a Mahapushkaram, which happens in once in 144 years, when the river finishes one cycle of Pushkarams, that is 12 Pushkarams.
Yes.
The last one is called Mahapushkaram. It is equivalent to the Mahakumbh Mela that happens in the northern India.
Yeah.
And this year, for Godavari, this is Mahapushkaram. And this would happen again in 2159, if I'm
yes.
not wrong.
Yes.
And last time when it happened, there was no Andhra Pradesh. Neither was Telangana. We were under British rule. And Andhra Pradesh state got formed only in 1956, November 1st.
Hmm.
So this is the first time Mahapushkaram is happening after the formation of both the states.
Oh, wow.
So this is something which is very special for both the states. And I mean, chance of being here in 2159 seemed very remote. So we thought we will make the most of the occasion. And we went to Rajahmundry. We reached there on 12th night. And you should see the place to experience the vibration of the place.
Mm-hmm.
There were, wherever you see, there were lakhs of people, of course. It was very crowded, naturally so. And there was no day, there's no night. Everything is illuminated. Even at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the night, you can go out and it's full of people and it's fully illuminated. And
wow.
Nobody slept. And they were all working round the clock, authorities, as well as our Sevadal brothers and a lot of other organizations also. And the arrangements were made in a very, very systematic and organized way. There are a number of ghats. It is not just that main Pushkar ghat. There are a lot of snan ghats which were organized and arranged for the comfort and convenience of all the pilgrims. Since we are expecting the estimated flow of pilgrims is in millions.
Hmm.
So they had made beautiful arrangements, lot of ghats, and everything is very well planned. The sanitation was also very, very neatly planned and it is followed to the core. There are separate employees, sanitation employees, to maintain the cleanliness of the city and the sanitation.
Wow.
And security arrangements were also very good. I did not find any breach of security wherever we had gone. Mm-hmm. I had seen that there are enough security personnel who are trying to not control, but bring about an awareness of till where we can go, pilgrims can go in the river. You know, once you get into the river, you get carried away. Like, you know, people start walking into the river and they want to take a complete dip and all that. So there are very good arrangements made security wise, and there are a lot of tents wherever, every 20 feet there are tents put up for free water supply, drinking water. And there is lunch and dinner being provided by the government as well as some other organizations. Whoever, anybody can walk in and have lunch and dinner free of cost. And since the buses and, cars and private transportation is being stopped around 5 to 10 kilometers away from the city, there are buses plying.
Mm-hmm.
Every 5 minutes you have a free bus, you know, which will take you to inside the city and to whichever point. And every 5 minutes there are buses plying from one point to another point. And there are a lot of accommodation also was thought of very carefully and planned. I had seen that all the educational institutions are closed all these 12 days. And most of the schools and colleges are converted into guest houses.
Mm-hmm.
They were also being given. And there are a couple of hospitals which were also converted, old age homes. Everywhere, wherever they can accommodate people, they're trying to do that. And everything is very well planned. And
really, hats off to the government for making excellent arrangements.
Yes, definitely. Because it is not easy to accommodate so many people in such a small place. You know, Rajahmundry is not a huge city or anything. It's a small place.
I think it's handling now 10 times its population.
Definitely, yes. And And everything is well planned. And there are fixed rates for pujas. If anybody wants to perform any pujas or anything, there are fixed rates. And pujaris and pandits are also given ID cards. So you do not, you know, pilgrims do not get cheated by anybody. There are no tickets anywhere. Mm-hmm. Everything is, you just need to go and pick up whatever material you need for the pujas are also being sold there only at a fixed price.
Mm-hmm.
So they give you the price list of everything. You just need to follow that. And something that had impressed me very much there is, I want to share this with you, is they're very, very environmental friendly, mm-hmm. and they're aware of what we can do, what we should not do.
Mm-hmm.
Since there is such huge crowds pouring in, everyone is given that awareness. Maybe, you know, they're trained or they're told about it. I do not know the details of it. But I had seen these pujaris. Now, as you explained, this is also a very considered an auspicious or good time to do this Shraddh Karmas.
Yes.
For the departed elders. So when we do that, there are certain things that needs to be immersed into the water.
Hmm.
And while we were doing that, everybody was being informed by that pandit, whoever had done that puja for them, that there is this kusha grass, which
yes.
is used in these ceremonies. He made it a point to inform each and every person to take that grass from the plate and only immerse the, you know, the other things which will dissolve in water. I asked him, why should I do that? What do I do with this? So he said, there are trash cans kept on the banks of the river. So you can put this in that. Don't put it in the water because that will be dangerous to the fish inside the water.
Oh.
It'll cut the fish. Kusha grass is very sharp. It's razor sharp.
Mm.
So I was very, very impressed with this kind of awareness that is being created there among everyone. So it is something that we need to see to experience it.
Mm.
There is the vibration is so positive and so energetic. Everyone is bubbling with enthusiasm and they do not mind going through a little bit of, not little bit, frankly speaking, you know, inconvenience. They don't mind walking kilometers together to reach to the snan ghats, bathing ghats. And everyone seemed to be in very high spirits. And it is very nice to see so many people so happily getting together at one place. It doesn't happen very frequently.
Yes. It would have just overwhelmed you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, definitely. Yes. And the pilgrims, the people who had come there, I had observed that many of them are from the surrounding villages.
Mm.
Many of them are villagers. Of course, I was there on the very first day, the 14th of July, the beginning of first day of Pushkaram. And what I had seen on that day is many, many people are from the surrounding villages. And they had come in groups and the kind of dedication and commitment and the patience and devotion that they have, I really felt so small looking at them and, you know, seeing their devotion, the levels of devotion that they have. We all know that, you know, we rivers are considered mothers for us. We call them, in Telugu also we call Nadima Talli. That means river mother.
Okay?
And rivers are goddesses. But I had actually literally seen that feeling and that affection for a river.
That reverence.
Reverence, yes. And you know, it's like they get into the water and they start shouting and screaming in joy. Like they start saying, okay, take care of us, mother, take care of us. It's like sitting in the lap of your own mother. They actually feel it while they do it. They do not, it is coming from the depths of their heart.
Mm.
That much I could make out.
Mm.
And I was so happy to see that. And so they all need to wait for hours together, standing in the queues to get into the bathing ghats, and with kids also. There are so many small kids, and extreme levels of patience and devotion is what I had seen there. And one more thing, Vishu, I overheard them talking, and I interacted with a few people. Some people were talking among themselves, these villagers. You know, from where are you and we are from here. And in that conversation, I understood, since I understand Telugu. Telugu is my mother tongue. Most of them cannot afford two-way fare to Rajahmundry.
Mm-hmm.
So they were telling each other that they came walking.
Mm-hmm.
They started in the morning and they came walking, the previous day morning.
Oh.
Okay. They came walking and they slept in the tents or wherever they could get a place. And after the bath, they will take a bus and go, since they will be tired by that time. So going back, we will take a bus. But we came walking. Imagine the commitment and the, you know, the
fervor.
They just want to be there and do that.
Mm.
You know, and the faith and the belief that they have, as you are mentioning, our Vedas and everything says that taking a dip during Pushkarani is very auspicious. Not only that, it will benefit us at all the levels.
Mm.
They might not be able to understand this, but they completely believe in it. Okay.
I think their faith will take them there.
Take them there, yes. Their faith moves mountains.
Yes.
I understood that there.
Mm.
They had come walking with their luggage, with their kits, and they're standing in the lines to get to their place and take a dip and go back. Mm. It is amazing. It is really, really amazing.
Beautiful. Well, I think every scene would have sort of overpowered you. The sheer scale of the function, as well as when you see all the people who have transformed themselves into something else just for that day.
Yes, yes. And they all have so much, they all support each other in so many ways. You know, I had seen what is mutual support there.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is feeling tired, a mother was feeling tired of carrying the baby and standing in the lines for so many hours, so the next person will take care of the baby. She'll say, okay, give the baby to me. I'll hold it for 10 minutes.
You could see that feeling of one feeling for the other, the empathy. Empathy, just, I think everyone felt that they all are on a common cause and each one has to support the other.
Yes. To get to where they want to go, they need to support each other. That's what is the mutual feeling there.
Mm-hmm.
It is beautiful to see that. It is beautiful.
Now, if I were to ask you from your stay there, what were the most heartening moments? You know, these were the moments that you shared that, you know, many things which actually overpowered you, which left you in awe, you were amazed. But were there certain moments which really touched you deep?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, there are. Actually, I was doing a small, I was reading about Rajahmundry, and before going there, I found out that it's a small town, somewhere around 88 square miles or so. And its population is around 400,000 citizens of Rajahmundry. And the expected and estimated pilgrims for this Mahapushkaram overall is around 40 to 50 million people.
Mm-hmm.
In both the states put together. And Rajahmundry being the center, the main, most important and main center of Pushkaram, half the estimated crowd is supposed to come to Rajahmundry.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it around 20 to 25 million. I was wondering and I was also a little worried, where will these people stay? I mean, imagine a small town with 400,000 population, and the day I was there on 14th, it was estimated that 1 million pilgrims took a dip on that day. 1 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I was a little worried what would happen now. So many people are coming
to such a small place. The
city will crumble. No, city will crumble, and what would happen? And where will they all stay? How will they go back? What is it? And I went there, and as expected, all the hotels were pre-booked. But as I said, government had thought of that also, or the authorities or whoever. Wherever there is a ground, open ground, they had put up these tents, huge tents,
mm-hmm.
for people who could not get an accommodation and who do not mind sleeping for the night there. So anybody can go and put their mattress and sleep there and get up and go. There's nothing given, just a tent.
Mm-hmm.
So now, we went with a couple of our friends and their spouses. So one friend suggested that we go to his cousin sister's place. Six of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just them. Six of us. We went there and they welcomed us with open arms. They said, please come, please share whatever is there. Make yourselves comfortable. Don't worry about anything. We reached there only by 8:30 or 9 o'clock. Then they hurriedly made something for us for dinner. And as soon as we went, they offered coffee and they made dinner for us and fed us. And so I was so surprised to see that enthusiasm in them, you know, to welcome guests and take care of them. And in the while I was chatting with the lady of the house, and all, of course, we had also visited three other friends' houses since we were there, and they're all cousins. And I understood that everybody has prepared to accommodate and take care of their guests for the next 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
They said, anybody can come to our house. Because city is small, we cannot expect that they will find hotels for all these people. They cannot find accommodation.
So every house was open?
Every house is open for guests all the 12 days.
Oh, wow.
They said, we are prepared. We had. It is not official or anything. This is something that the citizens had come together and decided on their own.
Oh,
that we will all open our houses for our guests.
So every family has opened their doors for guests.
Irrespective of their financial condition or economic status, everyone is willing to entertain guests and accommodate them these 12 days. Say, you can come here, keep your bag and baggage here, please go and have a dip, come back, have lunch or have dinner according to the timing, and then you can leave. I was so surprised. I asked this cousin sister, how do you manage? When I went that night, six of us were there. The next morning when we went for bath and came back, there were 20 people in her house.
20 people?
20 people.
Oh my God.
Actually, 30 people had come, 10 of them had gone for a bath. So 20 people were sitting and having coffee. And I was, naturally, I was a little shocked. I was taken aback. 20 people. And as I said, it has nothing to do with how big a house you have or what is your standard and status. You should be willing to accommodate people. That's it. And they're all more than willing to accommodate people. She said, no, that's okay. We are prepared. We have got provisions and vegetables, everything. So we are prepared for 12 days. Most of them are getting, you know, giving catering orders if they cannot cook. Whatever, whoever can cook, they're cooking at home. I had seen that lady of the house, that sister of my friend and her daughter, work from the time I went to their house till the time I left from their house. Still they're working round the clock.
To just take care of the guests.
To just take care of the guests. And not in any, you know, easy way. As soon as you go, they offer you something to drink. And they make you feel comfortable. You can go have your holy dip and come back. And you can have lunch or dinner. And you can take bath in their house and change. And then while going, they give you, I had seen bunches of bananas there. You know, so many, like hundreds of banana bunches. I asked them, what is all this for? I said, no, while leaving, we'll give 2-3 bananas to each guest because we do not know what time they'll reach their houses. And if they'll get anything to eat in between if they feel hungry.
Mm-hmm.
They may leave at odd hours. So even that was thought of. And that was taken care of. They make sleeping arrangements. They give you food and everything. And one more small thing. After having my breakfast in their house, I was going to put the plate in the trash can when their maid came to me and she said, no, I will do that. You cannot do that. You should not. So she took the plate from my, I was feeling very awkward. She said, no, please go and wash your hands. I'll do this. So while washing my hands, I asked her, isn't it too much work for you? You used to do for 2 people. Now you're doing for 25 people.
Mm.
Isn't this too much work? She said, that's okay. These people are trying to help the guests. If I help them, I'll also get some punyam out of it.
Oh my God. The maid said that.
The maid said that. So imagine the hospitality of the people there. I felt so, first, it was a little tough for me to digest all of this in the first place. But then it is, and everyone, every lady who goes to the house, it is not just one house I'm talking about. Every house, most of the people in Rajahmundry are following the same. Every lady who goes to the house, they give her a traditional Indian send-off with haldi kumkum, that is turmeric and vermilion, because every lady is considered very sacred. And the river goddess is also, you know, rivers are also goddesses, ladies. So they feel, they believe that it's a goddess who had come to our house. So we have to honor her before she leaves. And every lady, no matter how many are there, are given a traditional Indian send-off by the people. It is so heartening to see that. I was overwhelmed. In fact, I was. Where does this happen? I mean, I had never seen something like that till now. Of course, unless when I come to Parthi for Bhagwan's birthday or some occasions, yes. But other than here, it is very rare that we come across such a huge scale of hospitality. So it was something
on a mass scale, the whole city opening up for others, every home opening up for others, every heart opening up for others. It is almost Atithi Devo Bhava in action.
Exactly. That's what I felt. And they're not doing it out of force. They're doing it so happily, you know. They're so happy that they got it. No, it's okay. We get this once in 12 years. You know, it's like an opportunity for them.
And they're not complaining.
They gave up their rooms. They gave up their houses. They are adjusting.
So for 12 days, their entire schedule is
everyone gone is heavy. On leave. Mm. Even the men of the house, they're all on leave because they have to help the lady of the house, you know, their wives to take care of all these people. Mm. And the men's main job is to guide these guests whoever come to their house, which is the nearest bathing ghat, how to go there and how to come back. And all these things, all the planning and execution is their job. They get these mattresses and everything on rent for sleeping arrangements. And so while coming out, I told my cousin sister, my friend's cousin sister actually, I was telling her, you know, in a jovial way, I said, okay, I'll meet you after 12 years. Again, for the next Pushkaram, I'll come. And she said something. She said, no, don't come like this. I was like, oh, what did I do? She said, you left your kids and came this time. Next time, you bring your kids.
Oh.
And in 12 years, if they are married, bring their spouses also.
Oh, so,
it is really something that I felt very happy about.
Wow.
I really felt very happy to see all this happening.
Not only is the river flowing and swelling with people's devotion, you see a stream of love. You see a stream of service.
Yes.
You see people's hearts also overflowing just like River Godavari.
Expansion of love is what the concept is understood. Now I understand what it means. Till now I did not, but now I understand. They accept, they welcome, they include everyone, you know. You do not have to be directly related to them. If you know them and if you call and say, can I come? Please come. Please come and stay with us and finish your job. And it is beautiful to see that.
Wow. I guess there are so many scenes and so many memories. I think this experience, as I listen to you, for me, I think this experience of feeling this love and feeling this sense of, as Bhagwan says, only one caste, the caste of humanity, only one religion, the religion of love. And that is what you experience there in this city of Rajahmundry. And this is a city where Bhagwan has visited. This is a city where Bhagwan has his own school. And it has such a beautiful legacy.
Yeah.
This a Sai legacy as well as a great tradition of Indian culture. And you saw one very beautiful facet of Indian culture in action, Atithi Devo Bhava. And I think, personally, as I listen to you, I feel this experience perhaps is much more lasting and much more cherishing than actually the dip. I think you are submerged with the love of people.
Yes, definitely, yes. And it is, what I understood is, see, people are very nice by nature. We may not see it on a day-to-day basis. I may not see my neighbor being very nice to me and polite to me or on a day-to-day basis. But when the need comes, they rise to the occasion and they open up. They include and accept and, you know, accommodate everyone. And I think this, what I felt truly is this accommodation, you know, to adjust for others, to keep your needs aside and adjust for others when there is a need for it, is imbibed in us by our culture. It's a part of our Indian culture. If you see, today we may not have, but if you look back, even 30 years or 40 years, we all had joint families.
Yes.
And the whole concept and the common ground or the foundation of a joint family is adjustment.
Adjustment, yes.
And keep your personal needs aside for the higher good of the whole group.
Yes.
That's what it was based on.
Yeah, I mean, you think about an individual member in the family gave up his convenience for the sake of the family.
Yes.
And the family gave up their convenience for the sake of society. And the society gave up their convenience for the sake of the country. I mean, that is what Bhagwan says, the very beautiful quotation, if there is righteousness in the heart, there is harmony in the home. And when there is harmony in the home, there is order in society. When there is order in society, there is peace in the nation and all that. I mean, it's very beautiful, you know, when you see the practice of those principles for which Indian culture stood out, for which India was known. And you know, we think it is gone. We think it is dissipated in the sands of time, but it is not.
No, it is there. Not. That's what I understood. It is not. As we are discussing,
it's not that. It is not that just these rituals have remained, but the spirituality associated with the rituals is also alive.
It is also very much there. When there is a need for it, when the time comes, it definitely comes out into the light. And I had seen, as you are saying, I had seen a practice, a practical practice, you know, literally, people practicing Atithi Devo Bhava. They treat a guest in the house as a god in the house. That's what we say. And they are literally living it. And knowingly or unknowingly, many of them may not know this, but even unknowingly they are following love all serve all.
And as you were saying, they are not even allowing you to lift your plates.
Yes, yes. And it is not just with me. Whoever comes, walks into the house, they are all treated equally. They are all treated in the same way, irrespective of who they are or from where they are. It is beautiful. I am really thankful to Swami. Of course, he allowed me to go and participate in the Mahapushkaram. That is one thing. Apart from that, I'm really thankful to him for giving me this experience. Maybe, you know, I will be a little more careful and thoughtful with my guests now onwards, since I have received that kind of, you know, I have received it from someone whom I do not even know. I do not even know them, and they do not know me. So it only is fair on my part to give it to and share it with somebody else. It is beautiful. It's a beautiful experience overall, Vishu. I'm very glad that Swami had sent me there.
Fantastic. So the Pushkaram vibration is this vibration of love. Is this vibration of feeling for the other.
Yes.
Is this vibration of universal love. And it's really wonderful.
Empathy. I had seen the real empathy.
And that is what love all, serve all is all about.
Yes, yes. As I said, knowingly or unknowingly, the whole of Rajahmundry is following love all, serve all now, these 12 days. Hats off to all of them and God bless them. And I'm very, very happy to be there. And I'm thankful to Swami that he had sent me there. Otherwise, I would have missed all of this.
Absolutely. Wonderful. In fact, as you were, you know, mentioning this, I was also reminded of a discourse where Bhagwan very clearly says, you know, you may celebrate any number of festivals and undertake any type of spiritual exercises, but all this will go waste if you do not have divine feelings in your heart. You know, every ritual, as I say, should become spiritual. And Bhagwan says that your vision should be suffused with divine feelings. You should understand and experience the sacred principles like Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Brahman is immanent in everything. Vishvam Vishnumayam. Vishnu pervades the entire universe. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. God is the indweller of all beings. I mean, these are our, this is our culture. This is what the sages passed on from one generation to another as the tenets of Indian philosophy. And this is what Bhagwan is saying, you know, only when you cultivate these noble qualities, as Bhagwan says, expansion of love is life, contraction of love is death. So only when you have, Bhagwan says, these noble qualities, only then you can say that you have celebrated these festivals in the right spirit. And Swami says, in order to cultivate these divine feelings and noble qualities, you have to control your senses and sublimate your senses. And then Bhagwan goes on to say in that discourse, bliss can be attained only through the control of senses, not through penance, through japa or meditation. Neither by penance nor by going through scriptures or even having a dip in the holy river can give you liberation, Swami says.
Yeah.
You know, because I think you can get liberation only when you experience what is love and share what is love.
Yes.
and you sublimate your senses. And here Bhagavan is saying, only by serving noble souls can one cross the ocean of samsara. And here I think you had all the people knowingly or unknowingly serving others. You know,
yes.
They considered everyone as a noble soul. They didn't consider them, you know, they didn't want to serve them like any other person. As you were mentioning, you know, even the place that they served, they were very particular.
Yes.
What kind of plate they were serving.
Yes, yes. That is also one another point. I had asked my hostess, why don't you use the normal disposable plates? So many people eat in your house. And it is tough for anyone to clean all those plates twice or thrice in a day. I said, no. Many of them are coming from villages. They would feel bad. They're not used to these paper plates and disposables. So they may feel bad if I serve them in disposables. So I have to serve them in a plate that they're used to.
Wow.
So they had thought of every intricate thing and smallest of details.
How to make them feel special. How to really treat them as someone noble.
Yes,
noble.
How to make them feel welcome.
Welcome. Wow. So this first Swami says there is no easier path to peace and bliss other than by serving noble souls and then by sublimating your senses. And Swami says, what is moksha? It is getting rid of attachment, getting rid of moha is moksha. Giving up body consciousness is liberation. You know, when can you think about others? When you don't think about yourself. When you don't think about your body, only can you think about others. Just like Bhagwan, he just gave up himself for others.
Yes.
And Swami says, today man is immersed in body attachment. He can attain liberation only when he develops attachment towards the Atma, attachment towards the Self, the capital Self, attachment to the Spirit. And that happens only through the cultivation and practice of universal love. Where when you think less and less about yourself, you know, you come to a point where your ego is no more there. And you have just become one with the entire humanity.
Yes.
I think that is how Jivan Muktas are. But you know, but these events I think give us a glimpse of how an ideal society should be perhaps. How the golden age should be. How Indian culture, if it's really practiced every day, how beautiful it would be.
It would be, yes.
And it is very reassuring that, you know, it still exists.
Yes, definitely. I felt so relieved, you know. I felt a great relief that our culture and our system, you know, is still alive. And it has not gone out of fashion. Let us say, it is still practiced.
I wait for the day when it will be more fashionable to
more
help
fashionable.
Others
yes.
than
to look after your
yourself.
Own convenience.
Yeah.
Yes.
When helping others becomes a fad, you know.
Yes.
We should reach there.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm sure we will reach there.
Yeah, because I think once people experience that joy, they will want to experience
yes,
it again.
The joy of giving, the joy
yes.
of serving, the joy of seeing others happy because of something that you're doing for them.
Yes.
Is like an intoxication.
I think even all the people of Rajahmundry will miss it.
We'll miss it.
After
they're
the 12 days.
They're already saying it. What will we do after 12 days? You're all, there will not be anybody here. We will miss all this.
Mm.
Nobody is considering it or looking at it as some extra work that they're doing. They're looking at it as an opportunity that they have got.
You know, that's why the whole, it is so significant when you look at all these things that are passed on to us through the generations by our great sages and saints, you know, it works in different dimensions.
Yes.
Somebody can dismiss the whole thing of what is the big deal, you know, people go and take a dip in the river, just like as someone says, well, what is the point pouring ghee into the fire, you know, during yagyam, you're just wasting ghee. Someone will say you're polluting the river and all that. But we never give it a deep thought that, you know, all this has come after so much of deep, I would say not even thinking. It's come through intuition. It's come through the divine.
Yes.
You know, because how to pass on these traditions, and we don't know in what dimensions they work.
They would help us.
They will help
and
us.
Every ritual in our culture is definitely backed up by a scientific explanation.
Yes.
Nowadays, unfortunately, what is happening is people just they scrap it off, saying no, this doesn't make any sense to me. They do not have the patience or the interest to sit back and think about it or go ask someone who knows it. I'm sure there are people who would be able to explain the scientific reasoning behind each and every ritual that Indian culture has, our culture has. But that is one thing. And one more thing, Vishu, now when I had seen these people and these hostesses doing so much work and so happily, you know, so happily, don't you think that would have an effect on their kids?
Yes.
Don't you think their kids would learn something from that?
Hmm.
Down the line, 12 years, kids would grow up. They would be all the more eager and enthusiastic to do the same, like how the mothers and fathers are doing now.
Hmm.
That is why I am confident now that, you know, we will see more of all these things in the coming days.
Wow. And I think as you very rightly said, it's very important to pass this on to the coming generation.
Coming generation, yes.
And some things, you know, when we understand some things, we say, Han, just like, you know, I read something about the healing powers of water, hidden messages in water by Professor Masaru Emoto, and so I got convinced. But before that I was not. But actually I should have been convinced right from the start, because just go with the belief that there is something in it. Otherwise it would not have come down through so many centuries.
Centuries. Either you go with the belief that, yes, I believe in this because my ancestors are not fools. They would have thought of it.
Mm.
Or if you want, and if you have the capacity and time and patience, go deeper into it and try to understand it. Do not just scrap it off saying that this is not okay, or this is not necessary. How am I sure it is not necessary? Or how am I sure that it will not help me in any way?
Yes. And we have no clue on which dimensions it works.
It would help. Yes.
Yes. Just like sometime back we had a very beautiful discussion. In fact, we had it for 3 subsequent weeks on the Gayatri Mantra, you know, the power of the Gayatri Mantra. And I guess there are every facet of Indian culture is so significant, and perhaps we should have a series trying to dwell on each of these practices which have been given to us.
Yes, definitely.
If we listen to
Bhagwan's discourse, we just sit and worship Ganesha. We do Vinayak Chavati. Whatever is prescribed or suggested in the book, we follow it. But how many of us know the significance behind it? Listen to one discourse of Swami on Vinayak Chavati day. He would explain everything so
beautifully. And that is so beautiful. Because Swami would say yes. He never said, you know, all these practices are meaningless. He said, you have to do these practices, but also understand their significance and do it.
Understand why you are doing it.
There is a reason why they are there.
Like Swami tells that small story in Chinnagada, if you remember, there is this Satyanarayan puja that happens in a person's house every year. And you know it, right?
Yes, the cat.
The cat.
Yes. They find a cat and try to cover it. Yeah.
Father's time, the son as a kid had seen that a cat was closed under a basket.
Mm.
And when he grows up and he performs Satyanarayan puja, when his father passes away, he asked Abraham, the puja, you are not doing it right. You did not close the cat under a basket. You did not, put the cat under the basket. He did not understand that the cat was a pet in his father's days.
Mm.
And that's why, because it was disturbing the puja, they had put it under a basket to control its movements.
Mm.
So that's how most of us are doing.
Mm.
We should understand why we are doing
each thing that we are doing.
I'm sure we will definitely find something very scientific.
Yes.
Behind each and every ritual that we are asked to do.
And that is how we can spiritualize every ritual and spiritualize our lives.
Yes. And if I understand, then only I can tell my kids, or I can guide my next generation.
Yes. And I think that is the duty of the current generation.
Yes.
If you want that golden age to come where everyone reveres nature, everyone goes back to those principles where as Swami says, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, where Vishwam Vishnumayam, where you have to see God in everything.
Everything.
Revere God in everything.
In everything, not just everyone.
Yes.
In everything.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mrs. Lalita Shikhar. I just thought that we would be talking for 10 minutes, but you know, we have been talking for more than half an hour, and it's been a very, very enriching experience. I really think that it is Bhagwan's blessings that you are here today, and you've just come fresh from this festival and shared your experience coming from the depths of your heart. Thank you so much once again for being here for Outside Inside, Deep Inside.
Thank you, Vishu. And thank you so much for giving this chance to me, but when you had asked, I did not have a clue what should I talk, or because I'm not very good at talking. Maybe this is what Swami wanted everyone to hear. Maybe Swami wanted everyone to know that there is not just what we will see on the news or media. There is a lot of it that we do not know,
yes,
which is happening very quietly there.
The media unfortunately reports only that which actually depresses us.
Yes.
When there are so many positive things.
So many beautiful things.
Beautiful
that
things.
Are happening
so many
right
things
around.
Which will just, which will just open your heart.
It is incredible. There are some incredible, unbelievable things which are happening.
Yes.
So maybe, you know, Bhagwan wanted everyone to know that side of it. That's why it's not me who is speaking. I only shared whatever I had seen there. Thanks to Swami and for allowing me to sit here and talk about all this, share my experience with you all, and thanks to our listeners. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So dear listeners, that was Mrs. Lalita Shekhar from Bangalore, who shared her impressions of being there at the Godavari Pushkaram. She just returned from participating in this mammoth and magnificent, sacred and sublime festival going on, where we worship the river as the Mother Goddess. I had planned actually to play the second part of Mr. Rajan Sood's conversation that I had about Bhagwan as the Sadguru, but Swami had planned it in a different way, and I'm really thankful to Bhagwan for guiding the session. We will have that recording some other time, but I'm really grateful to Swami for making this session of Outside Inside, Deep Inside so special, and I hope you also enjoyed it. There is so much to know about India, so much to know about Indian culture, so much to understand about Indian culture in the light of Swami's teachings. And I think that is our responsibility, that is our task, and that is our, the onus is on us to pass this on to the next generation. First we have to understand, assimilate, practice, and then when the coming generation notices us, when they see us live those principles, we would silently but solidly communicate and pass it on to them too. And that is how we will bring that change that we want to see in the world. So with heart full of love and gratitude, I place this program and all the programs that we have been doing right from the morning at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. In this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, you're going to have live programs again, but it is going to be only in Telugu, and it's going to be a grand celebration. It is the anniversary of our Telugu stream, the Telugu channel, which started on Guru Purnima day in 2011. We had taken permission from Bhagwan to start this channel in February, when Bhagwan was there in the physical form, and just as he had blessed, even though his physical form was not available with us, to press the button to start the Telugu channel, but his invisible presence has made this channel grow in leaps and bounds. And today you have 100 children who are going to participate on the program on Saturday, where it's going to be all the programs by the children. And on Sunday, the coming Sunday, you will have programs with a variety of them in different flavors, panel discussions to skits to discussions about legendary musicians to, it's a host of treat. It's a treat for all of us. For those of us who understand Telugu will of course enjoy. And so please do pass on this message. On Saturday and Sunday, 18th and 19th July, you're going to have live programs in Telugu. And of course in August is coming up Radio Sai's anniversary, the day when Bhagwan visited the studio way back in 2002 and inaugurated this facility that we are so blessed, where we are sitting now and having this discussion, this studio, Bhagwan came and blessed. So that's coming up in August. We'll discuss about that. We're going to plan something fantastic for that day too. But now coming up is the Guru Purnima season and the time to celebrate the anniversary of Telugu Stream. Thank you so much for being with us. Do share your comments and feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Finally, as I sign off, I offer my salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and I thank each one of you for your support and for being with there all through this beautiful journey. At 9:50, you will listen to a drama presented by Bal Vikas Children and Youth from Bihar and Jharkhand. This was presented on 8th March 2015 for the first time in Sai Kurvanthal. It's entitled Sri Satya Sai Divya Katha. So that is going to start in a couple of minutes. So do enjoy, keep listening, and keep writing to us, because you know your words of encouragement as well as your suggestions are most welcome. They do help us to fine-tune our programs. They do help us to go back to the drawing board. They help us to introspect and innovate. So please be with us, and together let us spread His love, let us live in His love, and let us march towards becoming love. Thank you so much. Sairam.